What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man BK's at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. We're hanging out here at 7-Eleven, 614 East Koenig Lane. We're having a parking lot party. We got my friends at Recover 180 hanging out here. Highballs, sparkling energy waters out here having a good time as well. And we're giving out Hot Mess Music Fest tickets. I think we still got a couple of Hot Mess Music Fest tickets. That's DJ Snoopadelic. That is Snoop Dogg for all you old folks out there. Ludacris, Cypress Hill. It's BNC The Park. It's going to be November 9th and 10th, so you can come out there for those. We're giving out VIP passes to our Texas Tailgarden pregame festivities out at 17th and San Jacinto this weekend before the Texas-Kansas game. You can come out here and sign up for those. And if you have the 7-Eleven Rewards app, you can come out here and get 49-cent Big Gulps and also get yourself, I believe it's dollar hot beverages of any kind and any size. But you got to have the 7-Eleven Rewards app, so get that. All right, I think we got to all the goodies out here at 7-Eleven. Let me right now invite our very special guest on the Carol's Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is the world's strongest man, and he's also a WWE legend, a friend of the show, my man Mark Henry. What's going on, Mark? How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, you know, I always stay busy. Dibbling, dabbling, a little comedy now. Was at Cap City Comedy on Saturday, and now I'm on my way to Dallas to the World Food Championships. I'm hosting and opening up tonight. I'm just staying busy.
Whoa. Okay, we got to back this thing up. You said World Food Championships?
The World Food Championship. You know, I love food. My mom was a chef. Like, for me to go in front of a room full of chefs, like, I'm very comfortable. I know my way around the kitchen. But more than anything, I love food TV, and I think that it's not as colorful as it can be, and I'm here to change
it. Oh, man, don't tell me you're going to start cooking around here, man. I know you're a man of many talents, trying to tackle Hollywood and wrestling, and now you're going to get into the food world. I don't know if we're ready for that, Mark. I don't know if the world's ready for that. Do you get to judge the food at the food festival you're going to?
I am. Tomorrow, I'm judging the burger category. And this is the World Food Championship. So there's a lot of big-time chefs in Austin that will be there, Dallas, and all the major cities in America that will have representation. And, I mean, last year there was 10,000 applicants.
Wow. Man.
So it's in many, many categories, You name one, it's being represented.
All right, I'm already getting hungry, so let's move on. I can't eat for a while, and they already got me hungry. Let's tell me what you've been up to, man, because I know you. I know you've been doing a lot of things, and I've been. And are you still doing the satellite radio show? Are you still doing it? Right,
I am. SiriusXM. We're busted open 5 days a week. The number one rated show on SiriusXM in sports.
Boom.
And the number one Apple podcast. In the country, above all your ESPN shows and all of the stuff you see on television, your boy is number one.
I'm not surprised by that, all right? I'm not surprised. You're a champion in whatever you decide to tackle. Well, let me ask, I know you're a sports fan. I know even though you're busy and you're a family man, and first of all, how's the family? How's everybody doing? How's the kiddos?
You know what, man? Everybody is fine. Of course, I'm driving my wife crazy because I'm doing so many things that she feels like I'm oversaturating the market and not spending as much time at home. But you know what, man? When you got trying to keep them lights on, you got to get out there and do your thing.
Hey, man, them growing kids, they eat a lot. Isn't it amazing how much kids eat? Man, you got to pay for all that.
You know what? It was always funny to me. when athletes used to say, hey, man, I need $10 million trying to feed my family. And I was like, man, that's what you call staying fed. But you know what, man? $10 million don't go as far as it used to.
Hey, it sure don't. No doubt about it. Hey, well, let me ask you about this while we got you, because I know we don't have you for long. Did you get a chance to watch the Texas OU game, first and foremost?
I did. I watched the game from beginning to end, but it's taken me this long to call you because I had to watch the game back by myself with no crowd, with no people screaming, so I can analyze and see what I thought were keys and what was positive and negative. And I watched the game back, and the number one thing is that Texas defense did not impose their will. If I'm the defense coordinator, I'm taking away what you do best. I'm taking one element of your game away from you, period. If you run a zone read, I'm going to line 46 up in the boundary, and I'm going to rush him every time, like you go when you see the zone read, because I want somebody to get hit every play that they run it. They'll quit running it. And then you make them one-dimensional by putting a spy in the middle of the field where he can make the quarterback throw the ball. I want you to throw it. He's in the top and running and quarterbacks rushing the ball. Like, take that away. Like, if that, you have to be able to make the team do what you want them to do rather than you being subject to what they want you to do.
Yep. I totally agree. What did you think of the missed tackles, man? I mean, that's why when I watched the game, I had to watch it from when I was less emotional. I think I was really emotional to watch the first time. Then I went back and tracked the missed tackles later, and I wanted to grade them on a curve. So I think I got 21 missed tackles, but it was probably closer to 24, 25. What are your thoughts about the lack of a technique with tackling with this group?
Well, a lot of it was not just them not wrapping up, but a lot of it was over pursuit and trying to do too much. Like, you do your job, and if it don't get done, it's not on you. And that's something that, you know, simplifying the defense is going to help, because now you're going to have people playing in their lanes. You know, when you play gap discipline defense, it's impossible if you're not doing your part. And I think that's the thing. You have people out of position. They're not breaking down when the ball comes and going attacking and making a tackle on the spot. And that's just being out of position and bad discipline. It's not just them. You know, I know they're strong, and they want to show how strong they are. And you said it best. I heard you say that you never tried to make the big hit. You just wanted to go and tackle people.
That's it.
They need to stop trying to hit everybody, because they're lowering their shoulders. That's why you get all the stingers. That's why you get all of the everybody's not P.J. Locke. P.J. Locke was designed for that. Bryant Westbrook was designed for that. Another hitter that I thought was just completely designed for hitting people that played at Texas was Quinn Jammer. Like, they can go and hit you, but you didn't see Nathan Basher going out there trying to mash people, because that wasn't his forte. His body wasn't meant for that. He was meant to grab you and bring you down. Michael Huff would grab you and bring you down. These guys got to know their role. Everybody is not a masher. You know, you got a couple of mashers out there. Let them do that. You play your lane and do your job.
No, I totally agree with everything you said, especially about the spy. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do about the tackling, especially with all the injuries. And, you know, that's tough. I want to ask you about the offensive line, because they did set a record, a bad one, for sacks allowed. 9 sacks in that game. That's the most since the Big 12 title game in 2009 when the Ndamukong Suh wreaked havoc on that Texas O-line. What do you think about the line play, man, for the offensive line? And, yeah, I mean, what were your thoughts? What went wrong?
How about this? Maybe you make an adjustment and say, hey, on third down, they're going to bring a delayed blitz. Let's slide the coverage. Let's slide the line protection. and pick that up, guys. Or let's keep the tight end in motion on third down and have him just be there as an extra blocker to pick up the blitz. Like, there, you have to be able to schematically change what it is that your problem is. Sometimes there's stuff going to happen that you're not prepared for, and you got to make that adjustment on the fly. And they didn't make that adjustment on the fly. How about moving the pocket? How about a waggle pass? How about a sprint option? Yeah. Some stretch, man. Some roll the pocket out. Like, you got a quarterback that if he rolls out, there's nobody there. He can run for 7 yards. Like, so there was a lot of things that I looked at offensively and defensively that looked like it was very vanilla. And maybe Tom said, you know what, we won last year in the first game, and that didn't do us all that bit of good. Let's save it for the championship game. So now getting to the championship game takes precedence over everything else, over the Texas OU weekend, and I think we'll see a different team if they make it to the championship game.
If they got a lot of things they got to fix if they're going to make it there. Real quick, also, before we let you go, I know you're a Cowboys fan. So what are your thoughts about the implosion that's happening in Dallas, man? Is it just they need a new coach? What's happening in Dallas? Because it's sad now with the loss to the Jets. Now we're in uncharted territory, in my opinion.
Rod, you know I was on suicide watch Sunday after that game.
I thought about you, man.
Man, I needed some people to call me and say, Mark, don't do it. Don't do it. And I didn't. But I'm just saying, listen, Jason Garrett is in a really, really precarious spot. He's got an owner that everybody in the state knows that he's going to throw the bank at Lincoln Riley after this season is over. Otherwise, he would have offered a contract to extend Jason's Garrett contract. He didn't on purpose. He knows that it's over for him. They need a brilliant offensive mind, somebody that can come in and command the team, because nobody else has been able to do it since the tuna left. So I think that Lincoln Riley coming in, being the head coach and co-offense coordinator, will give balance to the force, if you will. And I think that he's Luke Skywalker.
No, Longhorn fans know that all too well.
You're only hope, Obi-Wan.
Hey, let me ask you this. What about – I've heard somebody mentioning this. What about Bob Stoops as head coach for the Cowboys? Somebody said maybe Bob Stoops went to the XFL Dallas team so he could be really close to Jerry Jones when that all melts down and he could jump in there for the Cowboys. You think that's crazy? Because we didn't think he'd coach again. He's coaching for the XFL, for God's sake. So anything could happen.
Didn't he just get fired?
Who, Bob Stoops?
Yeah.
No, Bob Stoops is the coach of the XFL Dallas. I don't know their names. I'm sorry. The Dallas team for the XFL.
Well, I look at it like this, Rod. He would still be at Oklahoma if he could get the job done. And he's not. And I think Lincoln Riley is the guy that everybody looks at. And can you imagine Dallas running a Philadelphia-style offense with the RPOs? Like, that would be so good. It would be so beautiful to have Zeke be actually not have everybody know that he's going to get the ball on that possession.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Lincoln Riley does
that as good as anybody in the league. And you can tell that by watching the Texas OU game at how many times you saw superstar receivers running wide open. Like, how did you, it was schematically done. It was very skillful and well organized the way that he got guys to run free. And you know what? Dallas has got good enough receivers, a well-balanced run game, a quarterback that is trying to earn his stripes, but them guys can't do it if the owner is not going to really pour the power into those guys. Like, if I was Jason Garrett and I knew that I was out the door at the end of this season, that they're not going to renew my contract, how can I put my full heart and mind into that job?
Yeah. No, I think the fact that he's not calling the plays and it's do or die for him tells me all I need to know about Jason Garrett. Oh, let me ask you this before we let you go, Mark. Have you ever – you're an international star. Have you ever worked in China?
I have. Many times.
You have. Many times. What are your – do you have any thoughts on this, the NBA's international incident and what's going on with them? And I mean, now even with LeBron making his statement, people have been critical of LeBron and his stance that he's not more, pro Daryl Morey and his First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. You got any thoughts on it? It's a very complicated issue, man. But most people haven't even been to China, so they don't even know anything about it.
Okay. Right, we know it's not complicated. It's just there's a heavy price that comes when you're honest. And LeBron's not willing to pay the price to be honest. And Darren Morley should have kept his mouth shut, first off. If you're not willing to speak in depth about what's going on, don't talk at all. And he made the first mistake of opening this can of worms. It's the same thing with Saudi Arabia. Like, you can't go and criticize people's culture. You can't go and criticize people's race. You can't go and criticize people's way of life. If you're doing business with those people, you really need to keep your mouth shut. And the NBA should have punished them. They should have said, hey, man, you're going to have $1 million tariff penalty, and you're going to be suspended away from the team for at least 6 weeks, 2 months, something to that effect, because he needs to be punished and keep his mouth shut. And then China would have been fine with it, and then there would be no problems. But LeBron, on LeBron's case, LeBron realizes that the companies that make his shoes and the biggest NBA market outside the U.S. is in China, it would affect his bottom line. So he wasn't going to say nothing. You know, and what I will say about the whole deal is LeBron skated. He should have said, listen, guys, this is out of my pay grade. I don't really have anything other than to say is whatever happens in other people's culture, let that be their culture and leave them alone. The government doesn't have a problem doing business with these international companies, so why should I have a problem with it? Bang, bang, bang. It's over. You don't have anything else to say. The other thing is, if I was LeBron, I would point to America. We got stuff to handle over here. We got black people getting killed in their own house. You want to talk about something? Let's talk about, like, police brutality. I have a lot of friends that are police officers that would never do that. But that's because they're good people. We need to really concentrate in America on hiring people that love people, that want to help people, and not be so critical outside of our own borders. Like, we have tons of problems. We got people dying every day because they can't afford insurance. So let's fix our own ills before we go to Saudi Arabia and worry about not letting women do things, even though in this country, our laws and our foundation of our country is to make everything better. That's not their way of life, guys. We can't control what happens outside this border. And I'm not a big political guy. I just believe in making sure your own backyard is clean before you start talking and pointing at other people's.
Yeah. No, one of the ironic things is that when the players were speaking up about issues in our society, social injustices here, most of the fans want them to shut up and dribble, shut up and just play basketball, just shut up and do your job. And now they want them to speak out for social injustice still.
Make up your mind.
Social injustice abroad. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. It's a touchy, delicate subject, man. And, hey, Mark, I always appreciate you dropping the words of wisdom on us, man. For real, man. I appreciate
it, man. You know, I love you, man. I love the show. I appreciate the fact that you're not afraid to voice your opinion politically, as well as Tom Herman is a great guy. He's a really, really good coach. But it takes a real man to know Tom and to be able to say, hey, coach, I got to do my job, and I have to be critical of you right now. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your toughness. And I appreciate the fact that you're able to answer those questions that LeBron James was not willing to answer.
Amen. Hey, thanks, Mark. I appreciate you, man. I love you, brother. All right, I'll talk
to you
later.
Man. Have a good show.
You too. Take care. That's the WWE legend, World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry. He is, I mean, World's Strongest Man. I mean, yeah, it's all natural, too, by the way. I ain't got to say that. All right. I appreciate Mark Henry hitting us up. I know we went a little long there, but I'd love to get his thoughts on all types of stuff. You see why his SiriusXM show, it's killing it, all right, because he gives a lot of passionate opinions. And I'll tell you what, about LeBron, LeBron now is digging himself in deeper. They keep asking him about it, and I'm upset with that LeBron hasn't had a week to come up with a statement and didn't come up with something better than that, because he's a thoughtful, intellectual guy. Like, he's a deep thinker. He knows he's a brand. He knew people were gonna ask him about this. He's the face of the NBA, so he should have had something. I was honestly waiting on LeBron. I was like, man, LeBron's gonna have something that's gonna make us all think. All right, because he's gonna get into it. He's gonna understand it's a very nuanced discussion that is delicate, that there are two sides to it, and he's gonna come up, you know, with something from the other side that'll all make us give us a insight, and that'll be kind of introspective and make us all think. And he didn't. He just kind of, you know, it was very. You can tell he thought about it at the very last minute and just kind of came up with an answer. You know, I think what he was trying to say, and I've said this on the show before, but not about obviously the issues that LeBron is talking about in the NBA China issue, but freedom of speech, which is basically what it all comes down to. This is, as I say, the NFL deal with the same thing: freedom of speech versus your bottom line. And we all gotta make that choice. I can say whatever the hell I want on these airways right now. I have a boss who may not like it, and I can get fired for it. I have listeners who may not like it, and they can turn the radio dial. But I can say what I want, and I'll pay the consequence for it. Freedom of speech has to be like the most fundamental necessity of any free society. If that ain't happening, then you don't have a free society, period. But responsible speech is the burden of a free people. So responsibly, you know, Craig Way always told me, you can say whatever you want on radio. Just, it's all about the way you say it. And I haven't gotten fired today, and I, you know, you guys know I walk the line. But it's all about the way I say things, the way I put it. It's when I say it. It's how I say it. And that's the reason I ain't been fired yet. I ain't had no FCC violations, but I can walk the line. And I think for Daryl Morey and even for LeBron James now, it ain't what LeBron James said. It's how he said it. And I think the responsible speech thing, that's what we all think about, how we address one another, how you know, Daryl Morey, all that kind of stuff. The responsible speech is different than the free speech. We all, free speech, we all got that. That's a right. The responsible speech, that takes us a little intellectual, you know, thought. That takes us digging a little bit deeper. All right, we'll come back. This is, we're live, the Rodcast, right from 7-Eleven, 614 East Koenig Lane. I want to thank my man Mark Kennan for joining us. That's always a treat. Rafael Esparza is going to join us on the other side to let us know about some of the betting lines in the college and the NFL. Also, we'll talk more Cowboys and more Texans. All that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. Welcome back to the Rodcast. Hanging out here at 7-Eleven. A lot of friends out here. My man Adam came by here to say what's up. Lil' Kev came by to say what's up, too. Appreciate all the folks coming by showing us some love. Highball Sparkling Energy Water, Recover 180 out here, too, showing us plenty of love as well. And right now, my man Rafael Esparza is on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He gets all the love because, hell, he makes you money if you listen to him. My man Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports in the Twitterverse. Rafael, sorry about the change there, man. When Mark Henry calls, you can't bump Mark Henry, man, because he gets angry, and you don't want an angry WWE legend.
I know. I was hoping to jump on the air with him, maybe, because I'm actually doing WWE betting odds for Crown Jewel right now. I was going to see if he knew any inside information for me.
You know what? I apologize, Raphael. I'm sorry. Next time, I will hook that up, bro. I did not know that. I can hook that up. He definitely can hook you up with some inside info. All right. Well, give our folks out there listening some inside info. Well, we'll get to the college game here in just a second. Let's start with the NFL, and let's start with the Cowboys, because there's a lot of talk down here. First of all, are there odds on my bookie for Jason Garrett's job status is in terms of next coach to be fired? You guys have those kind of odds at my bookie?
We did, but we took them down just because we've already seen one coach fired. I mean, Jason Garrett is in the hot seat. He's going to last all season long, but Black Monday, he could be on a hot seat. I don't think if he loses, he probably goes, but he's not the hottest seat. Let's give that to Quinn over in Atlanta, that I think he's the first head coach fired on Black Monday.
Yeah, I think I'm agree with you on that, too. But, okay, give me your thoughts on the Cowboys. I mean, they're coming off a very disappointing loss to the Jets. Jets getting their first win of the season. And now the Cowboys have lost three in a row. This Philadelphia game is big. Doug Peterson, he didn't guarantee a win, but he did say that the Philadelphia was going to go down to Dallas and win that game, and then they were going to be first in the NFC East. What is the line on the game, and what are your thoughts about the Cowboys and the Eagles?
Cowboys are -3, totals 49. And the one thing I do like, they're getting their tackles back. Smith and Collins probably going to play in this game. Even Cobb, I'm hearing, is probably going to play. Cooper still have not heard if he's playing or not. If they get all those back, then I like them to shorten up the running game. I think if they can establish the run, they snap that three-game losing streak. I'm going to wait to see what the injuries go, because actually right now, a lot of money coming on the Eagles. If this gets off the three and let's say 2.5 pops up, then I might jump on Dallas, but that's only if they get healthy. And those tackles, that offensive line needs some help. If they play, then I might ride the Cowboys to snap that losing streak.
All right, let's jump over to the Texans. The Texans might have had the biggest road win in Bill O'Brien's tenure so far with the Texans. They go on the road and beat Kansas City. And now I think another big test. The Colts don't have Andrew Luck anymore, so no more excuses to lose to the Colts. Yes, Jacoby Brissett's playing well, and I think Frank Reich's a hell of a coach. But you got to go to Indianapolis. What are your thoughts? What's the line on the game? And are the Texans getting a lot of love after that big win in Kansas City?
They are getting a lot of love. And let's face it, if you want Deshaun Watson, get him at 9-1 to win the MVP, and also get McCaffrey for Carolina 9-1 for MVP. Those two bets are live. If Houston wins this game and Watson has another big game, he's going to move up to MVP rankings. I kind of like Houston. I like the way their defense is playing, and their offense has been on par. 84 points in two games. Give me the Texans to pull off the upset in Indianapolis. I think they win this game.
Oh, yeah, I feel you. I think the Texans are on a roll right now. It's crazy to say that, but their offensive line's playing well, defense playing well, and Deshaun Watson taking this game to another level, MVP level, as you just mentioned. Any other game in the NFL this week that is has got piqued your interest a little bit? Anything that you think the listeners should be looking out for?
Bears-Saints, the late game on the 425 game. Bears coming off a horrible loss in London against the Raiders. That defense is pissed. What are they going to do with Bridgewater and that offense? That's Bridgewater. Yes, he had a good game against Tampa, but it was against Tampa. He struggled last week against Jacksonville. Now you have a mad Bears team that's coming into this game. This is going to be ugly. This is going to be a hard smash mouth, and I think the Saints lose this game.
Ooh, yeah, I know it's strange, but the Bears, man, that defense, hard to bet against that defense going up against Teddy Bridgewater. All right, let's jump to the college level. Let's talk about the Longhorns a little bit. Longhorns coming off a disappointing loss to Oklahoma. First of all, give me your thoughts about that Oklahoma game. And Raphael, I want to ask you about this, because we talked about this a lot when we were leading up to the Texas OU game for Texas OU week. Why does Vegas continue to get the Texas OU game wrong? I believe they've the last, 6 years now, going all the way back to like 2013. Oklahoma hasn't covered the spread anytime they've been the favorite, especially when they've been double-digit favorites. And that was the case again this year. They were a double-digit favorite. Line started at 10 and got to almost 11, almost 12. And, of course, Texas ended up staying within that number. What is the deal with that in Vegas? And what did you guys have that game at?
Yeah, we had, I think, closer between 10.5 and 11. We don't mind getting that wrong because it doesn't matter what happens. They're going to bet the over in that game no matter what. It went under again this year. We cashed on that one. A lot of two-team teasers and parlays went down because of that. So we don't mind getting that wrong. As long as the game does not go over, we're going to cash.
Okay. Yeah, because I figure it's just a strange game. It's a rivalry game, neutral site, Texas State Fair. I think a lot of freaky, weird things happen in that game, as a lot of Longhorn fans know. All right, let's talk about the Texas-Kansas matchup. What's the line on Texas-Kansas, and do you expect the Longhorns, who are beat up, a lot of injuries on the back end and in the secondary on defense, do you expect them to cover that line?
I think they do. I mean, it's a home game. Finally a home game. Hopefully, if they can tackle, they should win by just defense alone, but they need to tackle better. The home team is 9-4 against the spread. I think the Longhorns bounce back, and I think their defense bounce back, and I think we're going to see a great defensive game for Texas. They win this game. The number's 23. I say grab it now because it will get bet all the way up to 24, 24 and a half.
Okay, another game that's a big game this weekend that I want to ask you about, Oregon-Washington, I believe, is this weekend. What are your thoughts about Oregon-Washington meeting up?
My heart's telling me Washington's probably going to pull off the home win and get the big win that they need. My wallet's telling me go Ducks because they have the Ducks to win the Pac-12. I have the Ducks total season wins. I was high on the Ducks all season long, so I'm going to be quacking all night long watching this game. If the Ducks defense continues to play like they're doing, I think Oregon wins. Who would have thought we'd talk about the Oregon Ducks defense before even mentioned their NFL-type quarterback? Oregon Ducks defense, outstanding.
The other matchup, Michigan, Penn State, big matchup in the Big Ten.
I'm taking off my khakis right now and putting on my jeans. Jim Harbaugh goes down, Penn State wins.
Oh, man, I'm a Harbaugh fan, too. But, yeah, I think you might be right. Penn State, they've been looking really good.
Whiteout. You can't beat the whiteout.
Arizona State, Utah in the Pac-12. What are your thoughts?
Utah's defense is still upset after that loss against USC. I wouldn't want to play the Utes right now. Their defense too tough. Give me Utah.
Okay. All right. That's my man, Rob. Oh, real quick, who's got the best Heisman odds right now over at MyBookie?
Everyone's playing for second place. It's Tua.
Oh, really? No Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow not sneaking up in there a little bit?
He is, but give me the running back from Wisconsin for Burrow.
Oh, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, all right. All right, my man Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports. Of course, my man Rafael always giving you the inside information. Rafael, we appreciate the time. As always, sorry that we had to reschedule, but, man, we really appreciate your patience, brother, as always.
Nah, Brown, take it easy. Have a great rest of the week.
All right, you too. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports. Rodney, what you had something for me that I should.
We should have asked him about the Astros. Go Astros!
Go Astros!
We should have asked him about that.
I should have asked him about the Astros. Darn it! All right,
That's all good.
Talk about the Astros when we come back because I want to talk about the Astros a little bit. That game four postponed till tomorrow. We'll let you know the updates on who's on the mound, who's facing whom, all of that and more right here on the broadcast. This is the Horn 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always come back up here and join us. I'll be out here till 5 o'clock hanging out, having a good time. Of course, Rodcast is done, but we'll still be out here. My friends at Recover 180 at Highball Sparkling Energy Water out here. We still have 5 tickets to the Hot Mess Music Fest with Snoop Dogg, Cypress Hill, Ludacris, some being Cedar Park, November 9th and 10th. So you can come out here and get some of those. Still got 5 tickets left. I think we started with 10, so they're going pretty quickly. Also, you can come out here and sign up to win some VIP passes to the Texas Tail Garden with us. All right, my man Chad back at the compound. He is on the line for a little crosstalk. Chad, what's going on, brother?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. Real quick, Chad, I don't know if I'm sure you guys will get into it. We did receive the report that Zach Greinke's going to start game four after the weather delayed game four. It'll be Thursday now. And Justin Verlander is going to start game five. So is there, from what I've been told, if there is a reliever kind of mashup, it'll be in game six. And then if necessary, Gerrit Cole will start game seven. Tanaka will start game four for the Yankees on Thursday.
Yeah.
So did you watch the game? What are your thoughts on Gerrit Cole and his brilliance?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's amazing. I think now this allows them, you know, the weather will allow everybody to kind of, Brad and I were just talking about it, move the Johnny Allstaff games to game six. And I mean, and the idea that if you get to game seven, you can throw Gerrit Cole back out there. It's just, yeah, it's an unbelievable thing to have Verlander and Cole. The big question, if you're an Astros fan, obviously, Rod, is, and you know, because you are one, but it's that feeling you get with Greinke going back out there. Can you absolutely trust him to go get you game four? Or are you going to have to rely on, because if he doesn't get you game four, then you got to, I mean, then you could just fall back to, okay, well, Verlander and Cole, you know, yeah, we'll get you the last two games that you need, but still, I'd have maybe a little uneasiness there, but the idea of anchoring it with Gerrit Cole, that has to be a good feeling.
What a first-world problem.
Yeah,
not
right.
Sure Greinke's going to be able to get a win for us. You know, at least as an Astros fan, yeah, I feel pretty confident there. I wanted to ask you about the Dallas Cowboys. My man Rafael Esparza says now there are some reports about Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith being ready for that game versus Philadelphia. Nobody knows they're going to play. They didn't practice today. Amari Cooper is one among those injured. Randall, you know, I think Michael Gallup they threw out there. And I mean, they're just as beat up as we've seen the Cowboys. You think the Cowboys, you don't think the Cowboys are going to win this game? They're favored right now, I think, by three. So at least they're at home and they're getting the home field advantage. But right now, it ain't looking good.
Yeah, I don't like the way they feel at all. I know everybody's been talking about the Chargers home game situation, but Rod, you've witnessed it, and people that have watched on TV know too. There are certain fan bases that go into the Cowboys stadium and they make it feel weird. And the Eagles are one of those fan bases. There's some of the blue bloodish franchises, or a couple of them in the division, can go in there and the fans kind of take over, and Cowboys fans get a little nervous and they'll start murmuring, and it just gets really weird. So, I mean, right now, and maybe this is, Kevin always accuses me of being a self-hating Cowboys fan. It's not really that. It's just over these last 3 weeks, how could I possibly trust this team to win a big division game?
Yeah, I agree with that. I trust the Jason Garrett coach team to win a division game. Yeah, this is a Dak Prescott game. He's almost got to go out there and he's got to prove that he's a franchise quarterback that, against all odds, can still go get you a W in the division. And I hope he's there, but I don't know if he's there yet.
Yeah, I would trust right now I would trust Peterson and the Eagles a little bit more than I trust the Cowboys. So Cowboys favored, you said, by three. Say if it's 3.5, I would definitely take the Eagles as far as the bet goes, but I'd also probably take them outright at this point.
Yeah, all right. It ain't looking good for the Cowboys, but keep hope alive. My man Chad and Kevin coming up on the other side. I'll join them for Longhorn Insider. I want to thank our friends from Highball Sparkling Energy Water. Thank Recover 180 for being out here. My man Rodney for out here, and my man Brad Kellner back at the compound. Everybody who came out to visit, really appreciate you guys. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We're talking about it right here on the Rodcast. I want to thank 7-Eleven for being kind to us and allowing us to party on the premises. Everybody out there, be kind to one another. That matters. I love you guys, and I mean that. Peace.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.